Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. We had a little bit of a break with the bye week, but we are back at you, as you may notice. I am much healthier than I was the last time I was on the show, as I barely had a voice and had some kind of crazy virus that could have led to limb amputation or something like that. I don't know. You look at me like it's not that serious, I assure you. It was just a cough. It was just a cough. Of course, joining me, as always, is the voluptuous Daniel Cox.
Voluptuous?
You said I'm supposed to say nice things about people today.
Yes.
So
I mean, that's
a nice thing
to say. I
guess
it depends.
Isn't it?
How you take it.
I guess so. I guess so.
All that exercising I do.
You do a lot of exercise. That's true. Hey, should we introduce our new guy?
I think we should.
Should we let him talk?
Absolutely.
We've got a new guest that will be joining us from here on out on the podcast. His name is Anthony, and he's an intern. We are going to call him Anthony the Intern.
Hello, ladies. And gentlemen.
There you go. Anthony will be helping us out a little bit here on the podcast, and he's very entertaining and has a voice that is smooth as silk.
No, they call me Barry White in my former life.
Yeah, okay. So that's the last time you're going to hear from Anthony the Intern.
I'm going to take this back now.
Yeah, take back the microphone. And all right, Daniel, let's get started here. It's been 2 weeks. Kind of feels like a little bit longer, doesn't it?
It does feel like it's been a while.
The bye week definitely was well needed for both players and staff alike.
Absolutely.
And so the last time the Falcons took the field, they scored a 23-20 victory over the Oakland Raiders. A little bit of a nail biter at the Georgia Dome, but they
once
pulled
again.
It out. Yeah, once again, it's becoming a little bit of a trend. Once again. And yeah. It was one of those games where certainly not everything went the Falcons' way, but they were able to find a way to pull it off. I mean, when your quarterback throws three interceptions in the first half, you kind of have a feeling that you're going to lose by probably double digits, but
right.
The Falcons hung in there, stuck with it, and ended up pulling out the win at the last second.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary when you start things off that way, right? You know, Matt throws an interception on the first drive, first possession, and it seemed like it kept going, and it just... We keep saying this every week, you know. We watch the Falcons play a game that's what we consider atypical and certainly not their best game, and they still manage to pull it out. And at some point, I think we have to say that, you know, the things that we hear before, you know, the mark of a good team is winning even when you're not playing your best or, you know, whatever the case may be. And I think that's just another case. I heard Tom Brady say this earlier this week, or maybe it was late last week. Winning one game in the NFL is very difficult to do. So, you know, when you win multiple games, it's an achievement, and it really is true that any team, and I think we saw this last weekend too. Any team, assuming you were watching football in the bye week, I watched maybe one game, but
I watched the Bills game, Bills Titans game for a little bit, and that was. That was about enough for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like to, you know, get away from it a little bit. But regardless, you know, Tom Brady said winning a game in the NFL is difficult. So it doesn't really matter how you win, ultimately, and that's how I feel. The Falcons came away with a win, and, you know, the Raiders, you can say what you want about them, but they're an NFL team, and it's
the
sixth win.
I totally agree. I mean, they're very good talent on that team. And you saw with Darren McFadden, Mike Goodson looked really good against us, and so you know, obviously
there was so many times I confused
thought
him
yeah you
Darren
thought
McFadden.
Darren McFadden was him. Yeah, but I mean that's just the thing, is that there's a lot of talent on that team, and records, you can't look at records, you can't look at, you know, whatever you want to look at, you just can't. You every Sunday is going to be a difficult challenge for every NFL team, regardless of who your opponent is. And speaking of difficult challenges, as we segue into our next game, the Philadelphia Eagles, once again, the honorary NFC South member, apparently, as we seem to play them every single year. But we're headed up to Philly this weekend. We're coming off the bye. They're coming off the bye. Andy Reid is 13-0 coming off the bye week. They got a new defensive coordinator. Michael Vick is their quarterback. A lot to be talking about here. Do you have any initial impressions of the Philadelphia Eagles now that we're a few days into our preparations for them?
I do. Here, first thing, when I tweeted this weeks ago, but when Peyton Manning was with the Colts, you know, the Colts and the Patriots had this little, like, divisional rivalry thing going on.
I remember
I see Eagles Falcons starting to become something like that.
It's got that same feel of like a division game. Yeah.
And there's a buzz down in the locker room, and you know, Asante Samuel has a little bit to do with that, but there was a vibe in the locker room today that I hadn't really noticed in a while. I mean, the guys are always up for the games, but I felt like there was a little extra pizzazz for this game. And I feel like it's going to be another one of those games. You know, what was it last year? 35-31, 34-31. It was an extremely close game. In my opinion, it was one of the most physical games that was played last year, certainly by the Falcons.
Absolutely.
They knocked Vic out of the game. And that's kind of how you have to play the Eagles, I think. But my initial impressions, they're kind of an enigma right now, the Eagles are. And I think it's going to be a challenging game. It's a game that I personally am worried about.
Wow. That's a strong statement.
Yeah. I mean, as far as, like, worrying about football games
go. As far as worrying about football games go, Daniel Cox is worried. You know, this is a dangerous Philly team, and I think they're better than their record shows. They've obviously had some issues on defense, and whether that's scheme or whether that's personnel, we don't know. You know, we're going to be facing a defensive coordinator that has never called defensive plays before, so the Falcons have no way to pick up on his tendencies or...
Okay, but he was the interim coach in Miami last year.
Yep.
And he worked for Mike Nolan while they were down there. So there's a little bit of crossover there, but again, we've discussed this before on the podcast, is, you know, when there's that crossover between coaches, I think it goes both ways as far as familiarity.
Absolutely, and there's definitely familiarity there. Mike Nolan has worked with him twice. Joe Dana worked with him last year. Mm-hmm. So Todd Bowles, certainly not as much of an enigma as you might think, but I think there's going to be some unscouted looks, like the team has said this week. They're going to see some fronts that maybe they haven't seen. They're going to see some blitzes that they haven't seen on tape from Philadelphia. But, you know, I think that's normal. I think, you know, every game you go into, there's going to be some unknown about that game. And you're going to have to make adjustments on the sideline just like you normally do. And that's one thing Todd McClure told me, is that, you know, you kind of approach it the same way. You know, you notice something different that they're doing, you take it to the sideline and try to come back out and fix it. So, you know, I see this as a big game for the Falcons. Certainly a good start to the second part of the season if they come out with a win. The Falcons haven't won in Philadelphia since 1988.
What were you doing in 1988?
I was in second grade. I think I was 1988. I was 7 years old. Anthony, the intern, how old were you when in 1980? Where were you in 1988?
I think I was still in the womb around 1988.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you didn't catch that game. You didn't catch that last.
No.
You missed that one.
I missed that one. I wish I could have watched it, but I wasn't nowhere around.
You had prior commitments.
Yeah, I had prior commitments that I had to be obligated to.
Okay. All right. So, Anthony,
the
intern.
Too,
yeah. So did I. I wasn't around. I probably wasn't watching the game either. So, it's an interesting matchup to me. I think it's a very important win for the Falcons, both you know, for the record, of course, but also that psychological thing. Get that, you know, monkey off the organization's back a little bit, and you know, kind of rewrite some history.
Absolutely.
Well, let's get into our nearly famous buy or sell segment. We had one Twitter suggestion. Somebody asked if we could get rid of the watch the market portion of the buy or sell segment. I'm a little concerned about that suggestion because neither one of us is very decisive about
Yeah. His words were pretty bold.
Be bold. Yeah, I don't know,
man. I mean, Thomas Dimitrov says be bold all the time, but I mean,
that's why he does. I'm fine with that, but like, you should see us try to. Yeah.
This is a podcast.
You should see us try to determine where we're going for lunch. Sometimes it's a bit of a process, but we'll try our best to be a little bit bold here. And we're going to introduce, once again, the lovely and talented Anthony the Intern. He's going to be feeding us our buy or sell topics. Anthony, take it away.
All right. First question in the buy and sell. The Eagles are in a desperate situation. One job has been lost. Others could be. This is a must-win game for them, and the Falcons are walking into a dangerous situation in Philly. How do you feel about that?
There's a lot of different elements going on in this one, but you know, for the most part, I'll go ahead and buy that. I think this is going to be a desperation game for Philly. I think a lot of their season rides on what happens in this game. They're coming off of two straight losses, two losses that they certainly didn't want to get. One of them, a close one against the Lions. Mm-hmm. You know, Juan Castillo, the former defensive coordinator, was let go during the bye week. So clearly they're looking to make some changes, and they know that now is a very pivotal time for them. And, you know, this game kind of starts it off. It's certainly a tough game for them to try and turn things around in. But, you know, the Falcons are walking into a dangerous situation, I think. I think when a team plays desperate, they play with a lot less to lose. And, you know, who knows? You could see some interesting plays, different looks, those kinds of things, more chances being taken. So, you know, it could be a dangerous situation. But I'll definitely buy the fact that this is a very important time for the Philadelphia Eagles, and that, you know, they're going to be looking to turn things around against the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it as well. You know, there are, like you said, there's a lot of elements to this game, not just with, you know, Juan Castillo being the new D coordinator, but also, you know, Mike Vick's not played that well, and there's if you listen to anything that's going on in Philly, if you read the papers or whatever, he's not getting a lot of love right now, and he's getting a lot of what's happening is kind of falling on his shoulders for what, you know, I wouldn't say it's all deserved, but that's beside the point. 13 of the 17 Eagles turnovers are his fault, so you can't argue with that. So he hasn't played nearly as well as he's wanted to, and you know, there's the rumor out there, the thought that if Vic struggles, he could get yanked, he could get pulled, he'll lose his job. So there's that element, and you know, the D coordinator's already lost his job. There's so much going on around with this team. I certainly feel like it's going to be a challenging situation for the Falcons this week. I'm definitely going to buy that it's a game that could be more difficult than some of the other games they've played this season.
Fair enough. Let's. Hey, we were kind of bold there. We both agreed, but we're somewhat bold, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Anthony the Intern, why don't you feed us our second topic?
Okay, the second topic. Do you believe that Corey Peters is a secret weapon for Mike Nolan?
It's tough. I don't think there's any secret about Corey Peters' game by this point. I think, you know, he's been around long enough to not be a secret. Is he going to help the run game when he returns? And again, you know, we don't know when that's going to be. I don't know. I think he's going to help the Falcons' run game as far as defending it goes. I don't buy that he's a secret weapon. I think he's it's pretty well known what he can do, and I think he's, you know, the Falcons are definitely anxious to get him back out on the field in an actual game. He started practicing again this week, but you know, he's a huge missing part of this defense, but I think defenses are going to know about him, so I'm gonna sell that he's a secret weapon. You're just as perplexed about this one as I am.
Yeah, I'm thinking really hard.
Really attack.
I want to be bold here, you know. So
yeah, well, I was bold and I sold it. I'm selling it. He's not a secret weapon. I don't see him as a secret.
I'm gonna buy it because he hasn't played in 6 weeks or more. Technically,
yeah, but he's got 2 years under his belt though.
But he hasn't played for Mike Nolan.
Okay, look, I'll give you that. Okay. I'll give you that. It's a different scheme. So I'll give you that. I'll let you slide with that.
Okay. So I'm gonna buy it. I'm not. The secret thing is, yeah, whatever. But Corey Peters' specialty is certainly stopping the run. And I think it's important to stress that, you know, what, 21 days or whatever, he's got time. He's not active yet. Like, he's not. The Falcons have time to make a decision, and it's not just up until Sunday on whether Corey Peters is going to play or not. So there's going to be some time, whether or not he plays. I know he wants to play. He said that yesterday. He's practicing. His snaps are going to be limited for a while as well. I don't think we'll see like quite the impact that we saw some from Corey in years past. But I think, you know, week 12, week 13. I think we're really going to see the effect that Corey Peters can have on the Falcons' defense, certainly the run defense, and I think Mike Nolan can't wait to get him back.
I think you got to look at everything that he's missed and really put that into perspective.
Yeah.
You know, he missed OTAs, he missed mini camps, he missed training camp, he missed the preseason, and he missed the first 6 weeks of the regular season. I don't think you can overstate that. He needs some time to get back into football shape. I don't see where, you know, the team is going to be in a huge hurry to get him back, you know, before that 21 days is up, but it'll be great to have him back for sure. And I think you're right, you'll see his impact more in the later stretch of the season, kind of when you need it, you know. But I certainly don't expect him to come in and suddenly be the big answer to stopping the run. Yeah. Or, you know, being a big secret weapon.
Shout out to Vance Walker, though, playing
yes,
quite,
thank you.
Quite well in his absence.
Thank you. Yeah, Vance Walker having a heck of a season, just as an aside. So there's that. We'll give that to you. Anthony, the intern, back again, coming at you.
Okay, Falcons are 6-0, you know, big thing for us. But is this week's game a pivotal point in the season?
I think it's pivotal. I'm going to buy this one. Because it's a tough start to a tough stretch in the schedule. You go to Philly, you come back home, you play the Cowboys on national TV, Sunday Night Football. Then you go to New Orleans and play what I still think, and this is another topic for another day, I still think this is a dangerous Saints team. And then you come home, and then you play Arizona, which has, you know, we're kind of seeing now in the middle part of the season maybe who the Cardinals are, but very strong start to the season for that team. So these next few games are really difficult. It's a tough stretch. So if you get off to a winning start on this stretch here, I think it could go a long way towards helping you, especially the mental kind of boost it gives you to go up to a place like Philadelphia and come back with a win. So I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, you know, it is a pivotal time for the Falcons. And, you know, a loss could have the equal effect and just kind of begin to slide. And you definitely don't want to see that.
I'm going to sell it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fighting words.
Okay. I know that it's first of all, I know how bad Asante Samuel wants to go into Philly and not just win, but like win huge. You know, Tony Gonzalez today was talking to the media and he said, you know, you're only seeing a piece of what the excitement level that Asante is bringing to this game. He said, you know, behind the scenes, it's even more so, which I'm kind of having a hard time imagining, but you know, whatever. But Here's why I don't think it's pivotal. Yes, the Falcons are entering into a tough next four games, the Eagles, Cowboys, Saints, and Cardinals. You know, that's a tough stretch, you know, two at home, two on the road as well. But the Falcons are 6-0. They did their work. They've put in good work already. You know, I don't like to say so what if they lose a couple of games here, but they've already kind of – I'm struggling to find the words, but they've already gotten off to a better start than anyone else, and you know, they've kind of created that bumper, I guess you can.
There's wiggle room.
Yeah, there's going to be stumbles along the way. I don't think anyone believes that the Falcons are going to go undefeated this year, but You know, so I don't really feel like it's a pivotal game. I feel like it's a big game. It's going to be an exciting game. There's a lot of drama. There's a lot of elements surrounding the game. It's certainly significant for the Eagles, and I guess you could look at it a different way. If the Falcons go up to Philly and blow them out, it could change the course of the Eagles season for sure. You could kind of maybe put them away already, and you start knocking off teams in the NFC. But I don't think it's a pivotal game. I don't think the Falcons look at it that way. I think you'll hear them say it's the most important game of the season because it's the next game in the season.
Sounds about right. Why don't we?
I think we've heard that before.
Yeah, we have. back to Anthony the intern before we move on to our next segment. Is this a pivotal time in the year for you?
Man, I think this is a pivotal time for me in general. Just coming in here trying to give you all, and you know, you reflect your organization, and that's what I'm trying to do. So every day is a pivotal day for me. I think I like that one.
I like that answer. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. We may let you talk a little more, but probably not. All right, let's get on to Twitter questions, Anthony. With our first question, why don't you go ahead and read it off for the folks at home.
All right, at BobbyJames286, will the Falcons turn into a different strategy this week, given the firing of Philadelphia's defensive coordinator?
No. I don't think it's going to make any difference. I don't think in how the Falcons prepare, I don't think it makes any difference. I don't think they're going to change their strategy. I don't think they're going to do anything different. It's going to be the Philadelphia game plan and executing the Philadelphia game plan, which is not, you know, going to be that big of a departure from anything we've already seen. I think it we're going to probably attack that team the same way we've attacked a lot of other teams. And, you know, you've gotten 2 weeks to prepare for them, so – I mean, I would expect just kind of.
There's not going to be like some dramatic changes. You know, there are unknown elements with the Eagles, but there's been unknowns each week. I mean, you never know what the opponent's going to do. You scout them, you study video, you study tendencies and everything, but you truly don't know what's going to happen in the game. You put your game plan together, and that's kind of the secret that what the Falcons are doing is each week they're preparing a game plan based on what they do best. You know, the game plan each week has been about the Falcons and less about the opponent. So I think that's kind of an idea. I mean, you know, they're going to see stuff that – I mean, certainly the Falcons are watching Eagles video, the Eagle film. I mean, they're preparing, but they don't know what's kind of going to get thrown at them. So they're going to prepare, the way they have each week this season. So I don't think there's going to be any dramatic departures from, how they've prepared each week already.
I agree with you. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. It's okay to agree with me.
Yes, it is. All right, Anthony the intern.
All right, I guess it's CookN23. Are the Falcons considering any moves before the trade deadline, which is, you know, Tuesday, October 30th?
It's coming up. I don't know. I mean,
if we knew, I don't think we would discuss it.
Ah, there you go. I think that's good. We just leave it at that. If we knew, we wouldn't discuss it.
If we know.
If we know anything, and we don't. But if we did, I don't know that we would talk about it on the podcast.
But for the sake of the podcast.
For the sake of
we can at least
mystery.
Discuss.
No.
No?
I think we just leave it at that.
I would say kind of look
Nope. All right, let's move on to our last segment. Anthony, the intern, take us home.
Okay. All right, what player steps up this week? You know, is it offense, defense? What and or who is going to make the difference in this game? Jay, last week I think you chose Julio, and Daniel, you picked Asante, pick six.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yeah, he.
Come on, look, can we gloat on this for a second?
Look, I'm totally cool with that because the week before I nailed Tony Gonzalez and he had a huge game against the Redskins, and I gloated. You can gloat. That's a great call. Julio had a good game, but him and Roddy both kind of did the same thing. Asante, pick six. You called it.
Yeah, my mom texted me after the game. She's like, "You were so right about that." One of her proudest moments, I think.
Does she listen to the podcast every week?
Jay, she reads every word I write.
Wow. She listens to every word I say.
All right. Well, shouts out to Daniel's mom listening back at home. Hey, kudos to you, man.
It's a lot of
pressure. Call it again if it happens again.
Well, it's two straight weeks we've gotten it right, so now there is some degree of pressure, I think. So
yeah, that is true. That is true. One of us has to nail this.
Pivotal moment in the podcast.
Yes, this is a pivotal moment. I will buy that this is a pivotal moment in the podcast. All right. Well, can I take two guys? Can I say two guys, or am I stacking?
This can be a big decision.
Should we leave this up to Anthony
the intern?
I mean, this is kind of big to put in his hands.
I think just step out on the limb. Go ahead and go for two.
No. I'm going to say no. Pick one guy, Jay.
One guy. Okay, if I've got to pick one guy, I'm going to pick John Abraham. And I'm going to pick John Abraham because he's going up against another young offensive tackle in King Dunlap. Jason Peters is obviously injured for them, so Dunlap is going to step in at left tackle and has done so. This will now be the second week in a row that Abe has faced a young tackle. Dunlap's in his third year, I think. And then the week before, you know, he faces another young left tackle, gets three sacks out of the day. I think Abe's the guy who's going to step up. I think he's going to get in the backfield. Now, some of you are going to point to 2 years ago when the Falcons were in Philly and Abe took on Dunlap again because Peters was injured and Abe didn't do a whole lot in that game. I don't care. Abe's older. Abe's wiser. Abe is the predator. I think he gets in the backfield a lot. I think he causes a lot of damage. And I think he's my player that steps up. But I'm also going to say Jonathan Babineau is going to have a big game.
Oh, man,
because
I was going to throw that in too.
Because I think he's against their interior line. He's going to have a good game against their interior line.
Oh,
but geez. I only picked one.
Oh, my God.
I only picked one. Okay. So John Abraham is my guy.
All right, well. Okay.
You see what I did there, Anthony?
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
All right. I could say Asante, but I'm not.
You good.
I could. I'm not going to do that. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say War.
Ooh.
Willie Moe is always ready.
He's always ready.
You know what? After the Eagles game last season, at home in the Georgia Dome, I walked into the locker room on Wednesday afternoon, and I walked up to William Moore, and I said, You guys went after Michael Vick that day, huh? And he kind of grinned at me. And, you know, that was the game plan. The game plan was okay, you know, in this day and age of what's happening in the NFL, I feel like this needs to be said. There was never any ill intent. Okay, no one was trying to hurt anybody. But there was a physical intent to that game. And they went after Michael Vick. And I think that's going to happen again. And William Moore led that effort against going after Michael Vick. And, you know, they're playing. He's playing against one of his former teammates. He's they've exchanged a couple of words. Spoon as well. Spoon even called it a personal game to him, and I think that has something to do with it. But you know, I can see William Moore. He's been a little quiet the last couple of weeks. I think it's about time. Willie Moe.
That's my pick. Get back ready. Okay, William Moore. All right, so you got William Moore, I got John Abraham, and possibly also Jonathan Babineau, I think.
Asante Samuel.
No, you can't take two. We already discussed this. You can't take two. All right, well, that's going to do it here for the podcast this week. I want to thank and applaud Anthony, the intern, for doing a serviceable job reading things today. I mean, really, that's what do you contribute?
How difficult
right?
is that, really?
I mean...
Why does it have to be serviceable? I mean, I'm not working on your car.
Hey, I didn't ask for your opinion. That's fine. So, Anthony the intern joining us again next week. Daniel Cox will be back. As always, I know you're very disappointed, and I'll also be back too. I know you'll look forward to that. Back at you next week for another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, you can check us out now on iTunes. That's big. You can download us on iTunes. So multiple ways to get your Falcons fix here on the Falcon Cast podcast. We will talk to you next week after another win.